Okay, Shalom Aleichem. And now we know why Hashem held us up. We're going to start now. Okay. Okay. We are in Shaar Avodas HaElokim. Oh, Hashem is holding us up for another minute. Here, I bought the wrong sefer. Thank you. Shaar Avodas HaElokim. Perek Tes, in the English edition, it's page 330. Thank you, Mrs. Lauren. Okay. We began last week a very, very fundamental piece in Chovos HaLevavos. As a Talmud of Avigdor Miller, I know the big deal that he made out of this little piece, and that's what I want to continue conveying, even if it takes us another couple of weeks. In this discussion between the person and himself, right? That's what we're going through now, these weeks of the Chovos HaLevavos. It's a discussion between the person and himself. In other words, I am consulting, trying to activate, push myself to think deeper in order to understand what I should be doing. And the person is trying to determine for himself what is the essence of my existence. Or in other words, to put it into more practical terms, where we've been putting it, what is my focus in this world? What are my goals? 613 mitzvahs, Torah is huge. When we talk about growth, when we talk about getting ahead, growing, etc., it's huge. It's like, okay, you take a checklist of 700 things to choose from. How can I make it more, give myself a clearer goal, a clearer focus as to what I want out of life in this world? And the Chovos HaLevavos here is boiling that down to three things, which, if you think about it, really encompasses all the different areas that we would call growth, avodas Hashem, etc. And what are they? So, echad mehem. Number one is haser mosach ha'iveles me'olayich v'yelach b'datoy. To remove the screen of foolishness from you, and to enlighten you with his knowledge. Again, first I'm reading the three, and then we're going to continue to elaborate. Number two is to test you. Will you choose his service or not? Again, this is very general. It doesn't sound like there's anything significant being added here to what we already knew. Ashlishi. And number three is musarech bo'elam hazeh. To put you through the ordeal of this world, okay, to see if you will successfully bear the yoke of his service, for the purpose of, what does Hashem want to do with that? To raise you up to the level of the highest beings. He's talking about the highest of malachim. That's soivlim. He calls them soivlim, the bearers, or the tolerators. That's his term for malachim. So, again, what are these three things? And then let's, again, spend this week's shir elaborating. Number one is, if we're putting it into Avigdor Miller's terms, to move the things that are obscuring your vision and enlighten you with his knowledge. In other words, what we're calling perfection of mind, to be living with a clear sense of Hashem, that your mind is attuned to Hashem. Number two is, okay, we began elaborating on that last week. Let's continue and then we'll move on to the other two. It's living aware. We gave the mashal last week, and let's repeat it briefly, excuse me, but I do want to, since this is a continuum, I want to recap. We gave the mashal last week of the person and the cat walking through the street together, right? And there are many things that are alive around the person. The cat is completely in the dark, right? We gave the example of walking by a billboard where there's a lot of different posters put up that we walk by every day on the street. And there's a lot of expression there. You walk by there and there's humor there. There are upsetting things there. There's expression. There's things going on there. It's alive, right? And you might laugh, you might get upset, you might say, oh, that's important information, let me write down that number as you walk by the billboard with the different signs on it. The cat walks by and he sees a collection of color. So there's a lot going on. And this is in general true, right? Person is walking through the street, he sees sights and sounds that mean so much more to him than the cat, who's seeing exactly those same things, because the person is attuned to a more broader level of existence. A person walks through the street and hears Chalila, a siren, right? Going up and down. So immediately your heart jumps. The cat's heart doesn't jump. He doesn't know what's going on, but it's not, he's heard scarier things. Thunder is louder, right? A honk might be louder. A honk is more alarming to a cat than a siren of Chalila, you have to run to the shelter. But again, it's not just that you're standing there and you're interpreting it. It's going up and down. It's not the same as a honk. That means, let me remember from a few years ago, that means that there's an air attack, chas v'shalom, and I should find a shelter. It doesn't go through that process. It's automatic. It's a part of your reality. Like, you're there. It speaks to you. You respond, your heart jumps automatically. The adrenaline starts going automatically. Why? Because you are much more attuned to the reality around you than the cat is. So this is what the Chovos HaLevavos is telling us. You want to be walking through the street, living with the reality of Hashem around you. You want to be moving through life, living with that reality in the same kind of way, that it's sensory, and that the implications are sensory. When you walk through the street and you feel the wind blowing against your face, you know what Hashem is busy with right now. When you're sitting down to eat breakfast, normal, boring breakfast, but you focus for a minute on the fact that you're enjoying the eggs and enjoying the coffee, and you feel Hashem smiling at you, etc., etc., etc. That's really the concept, the essence of the Sefer called Chovos HaLevavos, that emuna, knowing that Hashem is there, translates into becoming aware. It becomes sensing that Hashem is there, right? You go from Shaar Yichud to Shaar Bchina. Shaar Yichud to Shaar Bchina really is going from, I understand that Hashem is there, to sensing Hashem around me, in my life, operating around me, internalizing that, learning to get to a place where I'm living it. It's not just that I know it, I know how to interpret things, but I'm living it. This is a lifetime career. And then many other things become automatic offshoots. Yiras Hashem, whether it's in terms of fear of messing up with him because you don't want to be punished, or just awe, the presence that you're in, Avas Hashem, Bitachen, trusting in him, etc. These are all the results, the effects of a well-developed sensory awareness of Hashem. It leads to all these things. These aren't separate areas. This is all a fully developed set of dynamics of living in a world with Hashem. And this is focus, goal number one. What do we want to get out of life? We want to get to a place of as sensory of an awareness as we can to Hashem, that our mind, as he puts it here, we move away the smoke screen of just the material world and we start seeing through it and seeing Hashem all around me everywhere. Ha'irlach bedatoy, enlightening you, literally, lights go on with his knowledge, with knowing him. And that we understand, it's a lifetime career. It's a career of directly working on it, right? Through trying to intensify your awareness of Hashem in a conscious way. Learning Chovos HaLevavos. And so many areas of Avodas Hashem connect to that. That's what tefillah is, obviously under this category, right? Tefillah, if I have in my agenda in life, again, are these three things. The other two we have yet to elaborate on. But number one, what one of them is enhancing my awareness of Hashem. So many areas of what we call, what might be disjointed areas of growth, are really all geared toward that. Tefillah obviously is that. What's tefillah? Tefillah is a means of developing more of a real sensory relationship and knowledge of Hashem. Part of the purpose, I have to stress this. The Maharal says, you know, tefillah is called avodah shebelev. Tefillah is called avodah shebelev. So much of tefillah is revolving around things that we want. We want health. We want parnasa. We want a sound mind. We want to go through the day making the right decisions, making the right calls. Why would that be called service? Why is that worship? Why is that avodah? The Maharal says, because when you have some health concern and you're going to now daven to Hashem for refuah, you're reminding yourself of the fact that depends on Hashem. You are internalizing your dependence on Hashem. That's the avodah. According to the Maharal, that's the essence of the avodah of tefillah. What is avodah shebelev? What is the avodah there? Where is the service there? The service is in the fact that we are enhancing our sense of dependence. So by davening for refuah, I want to appreciate that, yes, my refuah depends on Him. By davening for parnasa, I want to go from not just, I tried this. I'm going to make another shot in the dark. Maybe I'll throw out a tefillah or two. Who knows? But no, the purpose is I want to enhance my realization of the fact that my parnasa depends on Him. So tefillah is one piece in this category. Many of the mitzvahs that are symbolic. There really is not such a thing as mere symbolism in Yiddishkeit. Symbolism, any mitzvah symbolic, has to translate into our minds of, you have to go from symbolism to commemoration, to connecting. I mean, it wants to connect us. When we talk about something that's symbolic of something, the intent is, it wants to connect us with that concept. Shabbos is meant to symbolize Hashem as the creator of the world. That point is, really, there are three themes to Shabbos. But the point is that we want to utilize Shabbos to re-intensify that awareness. All the Amin Tovim are like that. When we say that we sit in the Sukkah in order to remember being in the Anane HaKavod, it's not just, wow, Hashem did something amazing in the past, let's remember it. No, we want to gain the awareness that the Anane HaKavod provide us of what? Of living in Hashem's care. When we talk about Pesach, right? Matzah, reconnecting to Yetzias Mitzrayim. Once again, we're not just saying commemorating events in history, but there's awareness that's meant to be gained through these different mitzvahs. And that awareness is, once again, Hashem introduced Himself to us. We talked about this plenty surrounding Pesach. And we want to reconnect to that those awarenesses. So when you're mapping out growth, and you're trying to figure out what should be the next thing on my agenda, what do I want to be doing next? So you want to have, in a general way, these three things in front of you. In terms of number one, what is another step that I could take from where I'm holding right now? What is another step that I can take toward enhancing, stepping up my awareness of Hashem? Find some area, whether it's learning a sefer like Chavos HaLavos, whether it's some step in tefillah, but you have your goal. And you're going to find the area that you can use toward that end. Now, as I said, I just want to mention this briefly without elaborating on it too much. When we're talking about men, you have the whole added dimension of Talmud Torah. The whole career of learning Torah for the purpose of, this is already another dimension of this same goal of Ha'irloch Bedatoiv, enlightening yourself with Hashem's knowledge, means to be thinking in line with the way Hashem wants you to be viewing things and thinking. Torah is about developing, kiviyachol, Hashem's kiviyachol, a million times, way of thinking. As a child of Hashem, you want to have Hashem's kiviyachol, mentality. I want to have His sense of right and wrong. Not just that I want to know what's allowed and what's not allowed, but I want to feel, I want to internalize into myself, into my personality, I feel that this is right and I feel that this is wrong. This is something good. This is something not good. This is repulsive and this is attractive. So that's number one. Then we have number two and number three. Number two is to see if you're going to choose his avodah or not. Again, simply understood, like what's he saying? Like what? Anything profound being added there? Actually, I'm going to save that for last because this, in a way, is the more complex one. Number three is to put you through the ordeal, to put you through the test of Olam Hazeh, to see if you will be willing to bear the yoke of His service. To translate that the way Rabbi Avigdor Miller translated it, this is referring to perfection of character. What we were talking about before is perfection of mind, seeing things, thinking of things in the right way, sensing things in the right way. This is perfection of character. In a broad way, this is what we call avodas hamidus. I want to go through the world using the world as a way of refining my character, seeing all the challenges of the world around me as a means of refining and perfecting and polishing my character. Now let's elaborate here too. Midas, when we talk about Midas, I start by saying that it's about, you know, kids should talk nicely. It's Midas, treat other people around you nicely. Let's understand it in a broader, more profound, deeper way. Midas means the following. The neshama, this is how the Ramchal puts it down, right at the beginning of Das Tumas. The neshama is the most perfect being created. It's the greatest being created, and it's the most perfect being created. But in order for the neshama to really get to its full perfection, part of the perfection of the neshama is, now this is a deep concept which we're not going to re-elaborate on now, but this is discussed at length in Ramchal. Part of the perfection of the neshama is that the neshama created its own perfection. Now this is a conundrum, because how can Hashem create a being that created its own perfection? The answer to this is that Hashem created that neshama, which is the perfect being, except that it's still missing one bit important thing. It didn't create its own perfection. What did Hashem do? Hashem enhanced the neshama. Hashem upgraded it. How? By tacking on some faults. By tacking on faults and personality traits that are difficult, that are challenging, Hashem now put the neshama into position to become even more perfect. How? By dealing with those faults, by rising above them. This is the idea of avodas hamidus. It's so fundamental that the Gra says that this is what we're here for in this world. This is what the Chassam is telling us also. And the Gra says, person who's not engaged in shviras hamidus, in perfecting and refining the midas, lama lo chayim, what's the point of living? What's the point of living? So, when we talk about what's the concept of midas? The concept of midas, again, it's not just an issue of be nice to the people around you, make yourself a pleasant person. The concept of midas is that you want your neshama to reflect the perfection of Hashem, of absolute self-control, of knowing where to apply which traits in which situation. This is an important thing. We've said this a number of times. Let's say it again. Midas, what does the word midah mean? We talk about good midas and bad midas. The term good midas and bad midas really is a misnomer. There's no such thing as a good midah or a bad midah. Midah means measure. Every trait has its place. When we talk about a good midah, really what it means is a midah that's to be used 95% of the time. Let's say, for example, we talk about Rachmanus as a good midah, and Achzarius, right? We talk about mercy, being merciful. Sensitive is a good midah. And being cruel, being insensitive, is a bad midah. What we really mean by that is that Rachmanus is meant to be used, it's supposed to be a dominant midah. It's meant to be used 97% of the time. While Achzarius is supposed to have a very, very small place. It has its place also. But it's only meant to be invoked 1-2% of the time. That's why it's called a midah. A midah means a measure. So the idea is that we want to gain control over ourselves. We're handed a person, and we are responsible for the chinuch of that person. We want to gain control over that person, bring it into a situation where every midah is used exactly in the right way. I'm not controlled by any of my midahs. That person is me. I had an interesting dialogue with an uncle of mine where I said that the way I think of this is that it's like you're given an animal to tame. You're given an animal to tame. Animal has all kinds of instincts. They're going to be running in all kinds of directions, right? You can't allow it. You're responsible for that animal. You can't allow it to run loose and cause harm. You have to bring it under control. You have to learn how to control it, just to hold it in place, and also to train it. When do you respond? When do you not respond? Adam ayin pere yivaled. We're all, as we said before, a very, very great neshama. But what's put into our hands is someone with raw, unrefined instincts. It's very important that we are made that way, because again, that gives us the ability to fully perfect ourselves. And you have to learn to get, your job is to gain control over that more wild animal that's inside us, to gain control over it, to tame it, and to have it completely under your command. I decide when this animal sits and when it stands. I was discussing this with an uncle of mine who said, the mashal is true, but using the wrong terms for the mashal. It's not, we're not talking about an animal. Don't talk about an animal. Talk about a baby, a young child. A wild seven-year-old. That's the term to use, not an animal. Okay, I said, I hear. And the truth is, the mashal fits mamish the same way. But afterwards, I saw the altar of Kel mamish says this mashal, and he uses the kid. He doesn't talk in terms of an animal. He talks in terms of a little kid. We all have the little kid inside of us. Little kids are not, there's no such thing as a bad kid. There's a kid who needs work with in different areas, right? And this is really how we have to relate to ourselves also. We have raw instincts, raw urges that our very, very great, we didn't say our glorious job that Hashem entrusted us with is to take the reins. And I am now the balabais. We'll just talk, to use what we'll call a grubba example, a coarse example. Person walks into the room, right? This person decides, eating too much cake is not good for me. I think that's a pretty general rule. Eating too much cake, what's the definition of too much? That already we're going to set aside. But eating too much cake is not good for me. Okay. Now, I walk into the room. My goal is to get from here to there. The problem is, as I walk into the room, there's a piece of cake on that table. So my goal is to get from here to there, but automatically I'm pulled in that direction because I don't control the cake. The cake controls me. When a person doesn't gain control of his urges, he's like a ping pong ball being bounced back and forth by the circumstances around him, right? Sometimes a person can be controlled by food on the table. Sometimes a person can be controlled by his bed. Sometimes a person can be controlled by someone else who provokes him. I'm not the balabais of what I want to say and what I don't want to say. That person is the balabais. He decides I should jump now, I'm going to jump. Right? You don't think of it in those terms. We think of it in terms, he's not going to talk to me that way. But what's really going on is, if that person decides I should jump, I'm going to jump. I'm not controlling what I do and what I don't do. And when we talk about this idea of Avodas Hamidos, what we're talking about is me becoming the balabais over that very, very broad range of urges and instincts and forces that we call our personality. To take this mashal a step further, here's the term that the Kuzari, the way the Kuzari puts it. The Kuzari, when he's asked to describe what is a chassid? Chassid means he was before chassidim, right? So what is the chassid? What is the pious person? What is the Jewish concept of a pious person? There's a lot of background to this in the Kuzari. We're not going to get into all of it now. But when he's asked to describe, how do you describe, what is the picture of a pious person in Yiddishkeit? So he says the pious person is the one who rules his kingdom very fairly, strict when he needs to be strict, kind when he needs to be kind. All of his subjects know that they will be provided for, but all of his subjects know also that they can't just do whatever they want. They know exactly what their jobs are, what they're supposed to do when. And everybody in the kingdom bows to his rule. They know that they can rely on him, and they know what the lines are, what the boundaries are, and they don't step out of bounds. So again, this is a dialogue between the Jewish Chacham and the Kuzari kings. The Kuzari king says, 1 minute, you're describing a king, you're describing a ruler. I asked you to describe the pious person. So the Kuzari says, no, I'm describing the private individual. We have in our personality a whole array of all kinds of, I said people, but change it into things going on inside of us. And yeah, all these things can be harnessed under the control of what we'll call the das, the person in terms of setting his goals. I know where I want to get in life. Or more namely, my goal is Olam Haba. My goal is being bound up with Hashem. And therefore, all these different forces inside me, ambition, greed, anger, generosity, kindness, etc. I want to get them all in line with this program. They should all be working toward that. They should all be working toward that. And this is what we're calling here, Avodas Hamidus, perfection of character. I want to get them all in line with this agenda. I want to get my greed onto that track. I want to get my Midah of Rachmanus, of mercy, onto that track. And I also want to get my Kayach of being insensitive onto that track. None of these things should run loose. All these things should be part of my agenda of harnessing all the different kaiches that I have in me toward that goal. And that's why it's important to understand that, you know what, I'll say that this is the significance of the mitzvah that people might naturally struggle with, the mitzvah of Mechias Amalek. Right? We have a command to get rid of Amalek. Now, this seems to go against the grain of what the Torah is busy banging in all the rest of the Torah. All the rest of the Torah is about compassion and mercy, etc., right? And all of a sudden, here there's a mitzvah of Mechias Amalek, which seems to go against it all. So without getting into the specifics of Amalek, there's a very profound point just being brought across in this mitzvah, and that is, Hashem is saying, part of the lesson of this mitzvah is that even when it comes to mitzvahs like Rachmanus, Chesed, which are major Torah values, still, you don't want to get to a place where they control you, where you are helpless against them. Even the greatest of midas, even the holiest of midas, should not be controlling you. You're in control of them. Just you realize that 99% of the time, they're to be used. But along comes one mitzvah and says, but you still have to be the balabais. You have to be capable of knowing that in those rare circumstances where Hashem says, now not, you can't say, but how could I? That was the mistake that Shaul made, right? And that was the difference between Shaul and David. Where David was just completely, whatever Hashem wants, that's what's going to be implemented. They say about Reb Chaim Brisker's generosity was like legendary. There are crazy stories about the extent of his generosity. Shimshon Pinkas said that one of his favorite stories is the story of Reb Chaim Brisker, where he said his house was like Grand Central Station. His house was open. People came in, found a bed, found there were meals cooking in the, you know, all the time in the kitchen. You found yourself a bed, and that was that. You found yourself a place at the table. So one person came to town looking for a place to stay for 2-3 days and have meals. He was directed to Reb Chaim Brisker's home. He was there for a couple of days, and then he was there for a couple of more days, and he started wondering at which point, you know, like, how long are you allowed to be here? So when he sat down one day at the table, he turned to the person sitting next to him, a different collection of people, turned to the person sitting next to him and said, you know, like, how long can you be here, like, without paying? But so the person sitting next to him said, I've been here for years. Nobody's ever told me anything. Only later, he discovered that was Reb Chaim Brisker, the Balabais. So this was just a story. Shimshon Pinkas said it's one of his favorite stories. Just the extent of the generosity. People, there were wild stories about his generosity. It was given another example of where one time there was a wedding between two of the wealthiest families in, I don't know, Europe or the area, whatever it is. And they made a very big deal out of it. And they were bringing, you know, when you bring the orchestra from there and the flowers from there, and they wanted to have the top of everything. So they bought Reb Chaim Brisker to be Mesadik Kiddushin. They wanted him to be Mesadik Kiddushin. So he was Mesadik Kiddushin. And then the next day he was staying at a local inn or something. The next day, both Mechutanim, very wealthy people, came in together to pay their respects. And token of appreciation, they handed him, I guess in today's terms, we'd call it a fat envelope. But whatever it was a closed, it was a closed package. It was a closed package. They handed it to him, they put it down on the table, and they sat down, and you know, he's giving them beautiful brachas, and they're thanking him, very nice little atmosphere. And as they're talking, somebody knocked on the door, and kind of people were coming in to see him, he's in the area. And this was a poor man coming to pour out his woes as the Chutam was sitting there. So Chaim Brisker just picked up the envelope. He hadn't even opened it. Just picked it up and handed it to him very nonchalantly. The two Gvirim was still sitting there. Picked it up, handed it, didn't open it, just handed it over and then continued his conversation. Now, somebody once said something to Chaim Brisker about his generous nature. About his generous nature. And Chaim Brisker responded and he said, "No, I don't have a generous nature." He said, "The first time I gave away money that I was not obligated to give away, I felt like I was cutting off a limb." You know, there's things we know we have to give. Okay, fine. But the first time I actually went beyond that, I felt like I was cutting off a limb. And the next time it hurt a little less. And then the next time it hurt a little less. And I'm allowing myself to add, like I'm filling this in. You know, whenever you tell a story of somebody who didn't live in your time, you don't have the details exactly exact. But I want to just be loyal to the way I read it. And I'm not going to contribute my own additional, you know, stages of evolution to the story. So I'm going to say explicitly, this I'm adding that presumably the way it continued was, as it continued again and again, he started connecting to it until not only did it become a second nature, but it became something that he enjoyed doing. Because that's the process of Avodas Hamidus. That's the process of Avodas Hamidus. So here we're talking about, I'm using this again to illustrate the concept of, we don't want to leave ourselves to run our natural course. We want to be able to decide which of our Midas are in the right place, which of our traits, which of our instincts are in the right place, which need to be reined in, which need to be brought under control. And this is another one of those three fundamental areas, goals, that we have in our life. This is what we're here for. This is what all of our growth is geared toward. And therefore, like we said before, again, a person, an idealistic person, a conscientious person is mapping out a path of growth. So you're trying to figure out what should I take on next? What should I take on next? And that can be confusing, overwhelming list to pick from. So like we said before, you want to think to yourself, okay, where I am now, what is a step I can take in one of these realms, enhancing my awareness of Hashem with everything that entails. And another thing is enhancing my perfection of character. And here, you know, it's a good idea to look at the people in life around you. And here we understand why we have annoying people in our lives. They're there to provide us with that very, very great benefit. Choose a person and say, "But this person, I'm going to make a dent in my own midas. This person challenges me. I'm going to make a dent in my own midas by making some decision about how I'm going to respond better to this person." You could choose a circumstance that challenges you. But there's more to it also. But whatever it is, this is also a focus, a goal. This is where I ultimately want to get. Now, we have to stress whenever we talk about these things that these are lifetime careers and they are endless. They're endless. The goal is not to get to a place where we're perfect in these areas. The goal is to take ourselves and move ourselves forward consistently, solidly, not at top speed. Very quick, big changes don't usually last very long. You want to take small steps, have a clear idea. Where am I holding now? What is another small step that I can take moving forward in one of these areas? There's more to be said about that. Bli Neder, we'll continue this elaboration next week. I want to show Bli Neder how the whole concept of Dikduk and Halacha also fits into this category. But we'll leave that hanging for right now. We'll get there next week, Bli Neder. And then also to get on to the third, second in the Chavos Halavos' list, a goal of living a life of choosing the right things. This is also something that requires proper explanation. Okay, a few minutes if anybody has any questions to ask. As we said last week, if there are no questions to ask, no need to feel awkward. If there are questions to ask, go ahead. Also, if anybody wants to chat in a question, please feel free to do so. Otherwise, Bhavikta Miller would say, if we just sit quietly for a moment and say nothing, that's a great achievement. Kol tov rabbeisai, a gut tovach.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you.